Welcome to the Keeping It Young radio program, conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. I'm Dave.
And I'm Beth Lee.
And we are the Youngs. Join us today as we conclude part three in our conversation entitled Using Technology Wisely in Your Home. We just kind of sat down and thought through some things that we've done and want to do.
Right.
And so we thought we'd share those with you.
Goals that we
and,
have.
So let's get started on that. We've got about maybe 10 more minutes here today. Let's start with the first one. These are just some commitments that we want to make, that we would like to use in our family and that we strive towards. And here's the first one. We want to grow together as a family. We don't want to just wing raising children.
No.
And we don't want to just get in the habit of, you know, I come home and turn the TV on, sit in front of the TV, and the kids come home and turn the phone on, and we're just
right. Everybody's got in earbuds. Everybody's scrolling.
So we want to grow. And you that have children, what you know is that there'd be many things you want your kids to know, but we've tried to sum things up in two ways. We want our kids to have wisdom, and we want our kids to have character.
Yes.
And wisdom, you know, is knowing what is right in various situations of life. It's the Bible calls it understanding.
Right.
And one of the verses that I was thinking about is Proverbs 18:2. And that's the verse that says, the fool has no pleasure in understanding. It's a mark of wisdom when you understand life.
Right.
And I just off the top of our head here, can you think of anything your mom and dad did to help you have wisdom, to help you have understanding?
Well, of course, there were rules in our family that we had to follow that growing up, I would not have understood or even liked. But looking back, I know that they were just developing wisdom in my life, giving me cautions that made me stop and think before I would do something that would have been out of the realm of doing right. Mm-hmm. I think also my parents were careful about TV in a different way than we are. We did have television growing up, and we were allowed to watch certain shows, but they also would say, no, we're not going to watch that, and this is why. I know your friends watch that, but you're not going to watch it, and this is why. And so that would develop wisdom.
I can hear your mom saying that.
Yes. Yes.
I could so hear
different
her
things
that.
Like that to sure. develop wisdom.
And the thing is that you moms and dads, I'm sure you know this, but when your kids are smaller, they depend on your wisdom.
Yes.
Because they don't have wisdom and understanding.
Right.
And so we have to, if you have little ones in your house, they're not going to know what's right and what's wrong.
Right.
They have to learn that.
Right.
And we have to train them. That's why we have a family devotions. That's why we continually, you know, I don't remember where we got this statement from now, but somewhere along the way we were with some friends and they would say to their kids, do a wisdom check, please.
Yes. Please
it's time to do a wisdom check.
Yes.
And that became a very valuable statement for our family. We have three boys and two girls and you know, sometimes we, as kids, they're just not thinking.
Right.
But we would often, you know, could just put a hand on a shoulder and say, hey, do a wisdom check.
Right.
Which was a way of training our children to begin that process of developing wisdom on their own.
Yes.
Because the goal is that you don't want to have a 15-year-old that you have to absolutely tell them everything that's right and everything that's wrong.
Right. You want them to already be walking in wisdom by the time they're teenagers.
The goal we have is that our kids be walking in wisdom on their own.
Yes. And one of those things, one of the things that I just thought of is after I went to college, I mean, my parents were pretty strict, and we did still have rules because I was still part of their household. But they would, if I would bring something up, well, why can't I do this? Well, why can't I go there with these people? Then we would have a conversation, and they wanted me to develop a strong stance based on the Word of God, wisdom based on the Word of God, instead of them just saying, well, because I said so. So by the time I was 18 to 22, they were saying, well, what does the Word of God say? Well, let's look at this together. And how can you be wise in this situation and not ruin your testimony or ruin your life? And so that was very valuable. And that's what we try to do with our children, too. Yeah. And specifically, what we're talking about is technology. So you were talking about how that a small child would not have wisdom on their own to choose right, specifically with technology. So would you say that a small child needs a lot of parental oversight when it comes to their technology?
Absolutely. And if as we read through this book, The TechWise Family, one of the things that I thought was amazing is they had a commitment in their life that their children could not have screens until they were age double digits.
Right, till they were 10.
And so once they were 10, then they could use screens. And one of the things he said in the book that I thought was very interesting is he said that we are in an educational culture right now that says our kids have to learn to use computers. And right. And so, you know, when I was in school, we were starting that coding. I remember having a class in which we were learning to write code and put computer programs together. That was all a very beginning, early stage.
Oh, wow. See, my little Christian school didn't have that.
But, you know, computers were so new. Nobody right. had one.
Oh, no.
It's just we were learning
Nobody
to write.
Had a laptop.
I remember when we got an Atari that had an access to some kind of computer system or something, and mm-hmm. it was so minimal. There was just yes. very few things you could do with it, but it was kind of cool to write some codes and figure out how to make it do different things and mm-hmm. and all of that kind of stuff. But then, you know, time goes on, and now we have children that our schools hand kindergartners
iPads.
We got to train them how to use it.
Right.
But what the author said in the book was this. He said, why are we giving the children iPads? Hand any child an iPad, and they will know more about that iPad and how to use it in a matter of moments.
Right.
Than use an adult will know.
Right.
And I don't know how many times I've said to my teenagers, hey, can you help me this?
Oh, yes.
Or my charity said to me the other day, Dad, why are you doing it that way? Do it this way.
It is
and she
amazing.
Reached around me, touched yes. my phone, and I was like, I didn't know my phone could do that.
Right.
And she's never had a class on it.
No.
It just, she knows how to use an iPhone.
Right.
And we're
They've
so
just grown
careful.
Up with it.
And, yes. and she actually just recently had the privilege to start using one.
Yes.
So this is totally new to her. Yes. She's 12.
Right.
And yet she's already beyond where I am in her understanding of how it works and little,
right.
you know, tips and shortcuts.
And tweaks,
it's
yes.
so amazing.
It is amazing.
And so the point being here, this first commitment we have, we want to grow together as a family. Technology can distract you.
Yes.
Everybody does their own little thing. Mm-hmm. But we want our children to grow in wisdom.
Right.
And so we can't allow the technology to destroy wisdom.
And, you know, this is such a little thing. I see moms in the grocery store all the time, and this is not a wrong thing. So if you do this, please don't feel convicted or whatever. But moms all the time are handing their child, a very small child, I'm talking like a toddler or a preschooler, their iPhone or their iPad to watch a movie while they do grocery shopping. Mm-hmm. Now, I do understand that grocery shopping with a baby and a toddler is
sure.
very difficult. I have done it in all stages of life, and it's just, it can be very difficult. Mm-hmm. But there are also sweet conversations that you're missing out on mm-hmm. if you're constantly, I mean, I understand it's nap time, the child needs to eat, and you still have to stop at Walmart before you can get home. Maybe the best thing to do would to, you know, hand them an iPhone with an episode of Curious George or something. I don't
sure.
know. But
just practical.
Yes, just be practical about it. But at other times, have a conversation. Point out colors, point out numbers, point out letters. And you can have that sweet connection with
right.
your baby.
And I remember when we would go together to the grocery store, and I would push the shopping cart.
Yes.
I'm a Tennessean, so I almost said buggy.
Buggy.
And as I would push the buggy or the shopping cart with the kids, we would have conversations. And we would learn colors, and we would learn steps, and yes. we would do counting.
And we would sing.
And yeah, we just, and it turned into a time where the kids were growing in wisdom about what is this,
yes.
what is that.
And growing together as
and
a family.
One of the things that's happened in our technologically distracted culture is that we don't connect anymore. But wisdom, mm-hmm. knowing what is right in various situations of life, does not occur by accident.
No.
And technology can ruin that. But it's not only wisdom. We do want our kids to have character. And
yes.
I learned this from actually our friend Bill Rice III, Dr. Bill Rice III, in one of his sermons said that character is the ability to do right regardless of inward yearnings, outward pressures, or eventual outcomes. Mm. And that's something it takes about 18 years to teach our children.
Or longer.
That, you know what, you may want to do wrong, but if you have wisdom and character, it will help you to do right.
Right.
And you may have friends that are pressuring you to do wrong, but if you have wisdom and character, you can stand against those wrong friends and influences
yes.
for that which is right.
Right.
And so that's really good. Now, we're going to be out of time here in just a moment. This is difficult. Mm. You moms and dads that are listening know that this is difficult.
Developing
wisdom and character
yes.
is difficult. And I'm going to say this. It's why we as parents struggle and fail here.
Mm.
Because it's just tough.
Right.
It is tough to raise children to have character and wisdom.
Especially in the realm of technology, because it is so prevalent in the school and in all of their friends' houses.
Absolutely.
Yes.
It's absolutely true. And so what I found out was that it's difficult early, it's hard to take the time to talk to the children in the grocery store rather than.
Yes.
And we were eating the other night. My wife and I stopped and grabbed a meal on a trip we were on. And the family beside us had a little boy that said nothing at all during the meal. Nothing. We were there probably 45 minutes easily, maybe an hour.
Right.
He never said a word because the entire time he was there, he had a device in his hands. He was completely unengaged. I'm not even sure he ate.
His dad had to just keep feeding him bites.
So his dad would put food
in
his mouth.
So he wouldn't even look at his father. His dad would just spoon
feed him. He had no idea what he was eating.
Yes.
Because he was so engaged in that. And I understand that it's so easy, but if we don't do the difficult thing early,
right,
to make it easy later, if we do the difficult thing, if we do the easy thing
now,
early,
yes,
it becomes difficult later.
Yes.
So if you got little ones, as hard as it is, now's the time to start developing standards of wisdom and character.
Yes.
And don't allow technology to distract you from that.
Right.
We're about out of time here. Here's a few quotes from the book. For technology, with all its gifts, poses one of the greatest threats ever conceived by human society to the formation of wise, courageous persons that real family and real community are all about.
Hmm.
I thought that was a loaded statement.
Yes, it is.
That technology poses one of the greatest threats ever consumed by human society.
Conceived.
And what did I say?
Conceived. Consumed.
Consumed. Conceived.
We do consume technology, though,
too. But the word there is conceived. And give us that next quote there, that last one.
Technology is not bad, but is only good if it can help us become the persons we were meant to be.
Now close this session with that one.
Hmm.
Technology is not bad at all.
No.
But it is only good if it can help us become the persons we were meant to be.
Right.
God designed us to thrive.
I think of the words that we did in the first episode about technology then, about better, balanced, and best.
Yes.
Is this technology what I'm using it for right now? Is it making me better? Is it balancing out my life? Is it best?
Yes.
Is this the best way to learn about a recipe?
And as moms and dads, we've got to evaluate that in our children.
Right.
Is this better? Is it balanced? Is it helping them to be better and balanced? Is this best for my children?
Yes.
And really, we're not against it. I hope you know that. We're not against it.
No, we use it every day.
We use it every day, multiple ways. But unless we keep it in balance and choose better and best over everything else, we'll lose this battle. You've just been listening to Keeping It Young, where we have conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. Today was the conclusion of part 3 in the episodes entitled Using Technology Wisely in Your Home. Join us next time as we begin part 4.
For more information, or to hear more Keeping It Young, go to tilradio.org or keepingityoungpodcast.com. This has been a co-production with Keeping It Young and TIL Radio Network.